This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. If you haven't been to a casino in a while, you may envision a slot machine looking the old-fashioned way, with a handlebar and a drum that shows spinning horseshoes, clovers, and cherries.
But the 1,250 slot machines being installed in the Plain Ridge Park Casino in Plainville, Mass., will look more like video games. They're high-definition, interactive, and feature characters from Mad Men and Duck Dynasty to Wonder Woman.
The slots can be fun. They can also be addictive. That's why the State Gaming Commission last week gave the green light to a pilot project designed to build in protections so gamblers can mitigate their losses. Critics, though, say the protections are woefully inadequate. Natasha Scholl has been studying the gaming industry for years. She's an anthropology professor at MIT and the author of a book on the development of the slot machine. It's called Addiction by Design: Machine Gambling in Las Vegas. Welcome, Natasha, to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
What makes the modern-day slot machine the most addictive casino game out there?
If you want to boil it down to three simple reasons, it's that these machines are continuous. You don't have to interrupt. You don't even these days have to put another coin in because it's all credit gambling. So continuous. They're also rapid. You can play 1,200 hands or spins an hour. So there's hardly any time to really pause and reflect on what you're doing. So they're continuous. They're rapid. They're just uninterrupted devices.
Which you can't say the same of for poker or blackjack.
No. With poker, you've got to wait for other people to take their turn, wait for the cards to come around, or even in a horse race, you've got to wait for the horses to finish. Not so on a gambling machine.
And in Plainville, the casino will feature only slot machines. One would think, by the way, if you have to wait around, it would build up the intensity, and that would be a good thing for those who really like the quick hit. What is feeding into the brain here?
Well, slot machines appeal to a totally different kind of gambler who's seeking a different experience, which is not one of expectation and thrill and suspense, but actually relaxation, rhythm, and what I hear from gamblers, the term is zoning out. So they're actually after the flow of it, not necessarily the win. Some of them will actually become disappointed when they win a jackpot because the machine will freeze up for a while and you've got to learn to listen to the little songs. Maybe people will come over to you, congratulate you. Suddenly you're back in the world where you don't want to be.
And you're saying that the designers of these machines know all this?
Well, what they know is what machines bring in the most revenue, and that's what they're designing for.
And the slots do?
The slots absolutely do. That's why I found a little dubious the whole discussion around the slots parlor versus destination resorts, which originally Val Patrick did not want so-called slot parlor. And now one got in there, right? But is it really that different than the destination resort? Given that slots bring in 75 and up, upwards 90% of the gaming revenue, essentially all casinos these days are slot parlors.
So the system that the State Gaming Commission is planning to implement, it's a first-in-the-nation program to help people gamble more responsibly. People who are losing in particular, which is almost everybody, will perhaps lose less. How does this work?
Well, the idea here is of loss limits, and this is otherwise known as a pre-commitment system. The idea is that individual gambler consumers would sort of check into their own, log on to their own little banking modules where they could look at a calendar, set limits, say, I don't want to gamble on this day. I only want to gamble $60 a day, $350 a week. So you are committing to and setting your own limits.
You mean with something like a debit card?
Well, actually, it's going to be integrated to the casino's play card.
Meaning what?
Well, most people these days, I think 80% of casino patrons, don't gamble with cash. Yeah. They're gambling with player loyalty cards, much like a frequent flyer kind of. So you just stick it in there and it, loaded with credits. It's sort of like a credit card to allow you to go into the casino. You also get rewarded, right? It's a reward card. So one of the problems I have with this system that's being implemented is that it's joined in that way and that there may be some kind of a reward system for following, setting your limits. You might get points in order if you log on and use the system to set limits. But there's a highly respected researcher out there, Bob Williams, who's sort of collected what are the evidence-based best practices. And one of them is eliminate reward cards. And he specifically says that it's not compatible with these pre-commitment systems, that if you're actually putting the pre-commitment system and bundling it with a card that also functions to reward you and incentivize your play, it's quite contradictory.
Okay, so why isn't there a system in place that will simply shut people off the way a bartender would for someone who's drinking too much?
Well, there are in some places, but in this country, there's a real pushback against anything that seems mandatory. And this system, while it's not a total free-for-all where consumers have to completely regulate themselves, they're being helped here. They're being given education tools and even the system, right? The whole system's designed to help them.
Yes.
But ultimately, the responsibility is being placed with people to shut themselves off. And the other problem. I mean, I'm for this system being in place. It's better than nothing. It certainly is. And the commission is honestly trying to make it as effective as it can be. However, it could do more. For instance, once you reach your set loss limits, because the system and because the casinos invested in Massachusetts are insisting, you can just override your own limits because it's voluntary, right? So it seems a little absurd at a certain point that you could put this system in place. First, you have to enroll in it. And then if you're enrolled in it, still, even then, when you reach your limits, you can keep playing.
Will this then, if once you reach your limit, it's almost the equivalent of somebody kind of nagging at your sleeve saying, you've had enough. Oh, and then you can just kind of, you know, brush it off and say, no, I'll go another $50 or another, and I'll get another warning, et cetera. Would that not serve, though, some purpose?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And they've already thought carefully about that. And in fact, when you go 100%, 200% over your limit, you will be notified if you're violating those limits. They've also thought you can actually change your limits anytime you want. And if you want to decrease your limits, it'll be immediate. But if you want to increase your limits, then you need to, or rather increase the amount of money that you're going to play, you're going to have to step away from the machine and go to a kiosk or a website in order for that to take place. So it can't be a hot impulse sort of decision.
We only have just a short amount of time left, but as you watch this proceed, knowing that, for instance, there are going to be about 1,200 slots opening up in Plainville next year, what are you going to be looking for? And what would be, since you seem to take a cautionary attitude, what would be your cautionary note?
Well, the cautionary note is that Massachusetts has a real opportunity here to set a precedent in the United States. Other countries are way ahead of us in this conversation about how to mitigate problem gambling. And I don't want Massachusetts just to put in place this token system that is so diluted that anything it could do effectively becomes a sort of joke because it's you can just override everything. So that's what I'll be looking for.
Thank you for coming into the studio. Natasha Scholl is a professor of anthropology at MIT and the author of a book on the development of the slot machine. It's called Addiction by Design. Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the coming retirement crisis and what to do about it. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.